Before we begin, Simon and I would like to acknowledge that we're recording this today on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nations. We'd also like to acknowledge that we met and grew up together on the land of the Combomeri people of the Yugambeh language group, and we'd like to acknowledge and pay our respects to Indigenous elders past and present, and extend that respect to any First Nations listeners.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Simran Pasricha.
I'm Ryan Hamilton.
And this is a podcast for burnt out divas.
Trying to stay.
Broadly Relevant. Hey Ryan, it's been a minute.
Oh my god, missed you. How have you been?
I've been good. I was just in Tasmania and locally I think I could live there. Where do you think that you could live?
Canberra.
Tea!
Without a doubt, I love that stupid city. What?
Lovingly.
No, because it's the weirdest place in Australia.
Yeah.
Strongly believe that, yeah.
Roundabouts, they're weird.
Yeah, and also government.
Also that.
I mean,
who
lives in Canberra? Tasmania, why?
My cousin. Sorry. I really liked it. It was very green. I like touching grass, actually. Not a
it's
lot of
so
people color,
to
though, so I don't know if I could do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could be the change
that you want to see in the world.
Broadly culture.
Lots happening in culture this week. This past week was the Cannes Film Festival. And Alia Bhatt, who is a Bollywood star, one of my favorite Nepo baby Bollywood stars, she walked the Cannes red carpet. And she walked in what she described as Gucci's first interpretation of a sari. Now, it's hit the interwebs. And there's been a lot of backlash on the situation. So for our audio listeners, the way that I would describe what Alia is wearing, it's a beautiful piece of like work. It's definitely like, it's very like form fitting. It's really gorgeous. Like a really nice, like deep V neckline. It's kind of sheer. So like, it's definitely like nipple pasty situations. And I think that's pretty cunty. So like, I'm into it. Would I call it a sari? Absolutely not. I'd call it a lehenga, first of all. It's a three-piece outfit, so that's like straight up not a sari. But she was excited about it. And, you know, it is exciting when a brand kind of infiltrates like South Asian culture and not like that. Sorry, not infiltrate, but... What in the internalized colonization did I just say?
It's so good to infiltrate.
No, but like, you know, does something for the culture and then like sends like a Bollywood star to like, you know, show it off sort of thing.
Yeah.
Would I call it a sari? No, I wouldn't. And apparently Gucci also would not call that
sorry.
A sari, which has been kind of controversial. So they did like post about this like outfit and... the outfit is, it's a fitted skirt, a V neckline blouse and a long dupatta, which is like a big scarf or for some of you calling it a Scandinavian scarf. Their brand wrote, global brand ambassador Alia Bhatt attended the closing ceremony of the 78th Cannes Film Festival in a custom Gucci gown with embroidered crystals in a GG monogram pattern. The actress was also pictured in a custom three-piece set. So straight up, that's like not... sorry.
Yeah.
It's a lehenga. And also them not calling it a lehenga is also kind of fucked. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of South Asians are kind of just over the lack of specifics when it comes to our culture, lack of credit, lack of just, you know, Googling with such some things. Like, I just feel like this is like a copywriting situation and it could have been easily rectified. And like one word could have changed like
the whole vibe,
especially when there's like so much like South Asian hate going on. Like every little bit counts and it's just getting like increasingly frustrating every time that we have like one step forward. It's always like two steps back, you know? And I have my own criticisms of Alia Bhatt as a person in general, but like, it's incredibly frustrating. And a few weeks ago, we didn't really cover this on Broadly Relevant, mostly because I didn't want to and I was kind of exhausted by the rhetoric about like the Scandinavian scarf of it all. Did we cover that? No,
we didn't cover it.
No.
I followed it.
Yeah. And it was basically this like outfit that was going viral by O'Polly and like, it was a big trend recently that like there's been like a scarf, like a neck scarf, which is what a dupatta is, and then like a dress or like a two-piece outfit with like flare pants, which are called a sharara in like Desi culture. And so it's like, I think it's like hit after hit after hit, especially like so soon after, and it's just quite Ryan googling one a dupatta. But what did you google? What did you put in?
I typed the bakta.
And I like the accent that you put on as well.
You do Hindi on Duolingo for a year. That's not how you spell it, is it?
No. Anyways, that's a T and I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd really just like some respect on our name.
Well, you know, my TikTok's been serving like sorry respect recently. Because first I got like this whole like TikTok of like, it was like a Scottish man and an Indian woman, and it was like talking about like kilts and saris, and they're like two proud cultures with iconic outfits, which are just single pieces of fabric. And then it was just the two of them getting dressed, and I was like, slay. Slay. And then the next one, I just like scrolled down, and what was it? It was like, did you know this, Simran? Before British colonization, the sari, you didn't have to wear a top piece. It was just a one-piece outfit.
I did know that.
I learned that.
Yeah. When Ryan first told me this fun fact, he was like, oh, so we saw the same TikTok. And I said, no, I'm just Indian. Sorry you don't see color, but like...
No, equality is so important. Stop Asian hate.
No, totally, yeah. Totally. I stand with myself, I guess. Yeah.
In other news, did you hear what Ryan Reynolds said about Star Wars?
No, tell me.
He was like, I wish, well, actually, he didn't just wish. He said that he pitched an idea of an R-rated Star Wars property to Disney, and Disney didn't go for it. And I just find that so interesting because obviously he is the diva from Deadpool, which is the highest grossing R-rated film of all time. Mm-hmm. I've not seen it. I'm not a superhero diva. But I found that interesting because I've recently been getting into Andor. And have you seen Andor?
I haven't. I've only seen it through your eyes on your Instagram story.
It's like a Star Wars TV show.
Yeah.
About... like, it's about resistance and about hope and, like, the way that, like, we, like, encourage movements to keep fighting. Mm. And very actively looks at, like, genocide and the way that, like, fascist governments use genocide and, like, bombard you with all the bad news to, like, help you to make you despair. Mm-hmm. Like, very actively, like, it's very obviously alluding to Gaza and stuff. Absolutely brilliant, phenomenal TV show. And then I was like, wow, maybe Star Wars is good.
It is on Disney Plus.
It is on Disney Plus. Anyway, but then I was like, maybe Star Wars is good. And then I proceeded to watch Star Wars. It's...
I have to tell you, this was the most insane journey that Ryan went on. If you're not following him, follow him on The Ryan Hamilton on Instagram. And he posted his journey because we both got COVID a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of screen time that you're having, obviously. Yeah. And he got into Andor.
Well, because Andor is a prequel to like the original Star Wars trilogy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it goes Andor, Rogue One, which is a 2016 movie, and then the trilogy, mm. Right? So I was like, okay, I've loved Andor. I'll keep watching this story. It went remarkably downhill. I don't know if you've ever seen the 1977 film A New Hope, but it is piss weak. Phenomenally bad. That's all I have to say on Star
Wars. I can't
wait
to clip this and then all the Star Wars bros just come
no,
for you.
No, okay, but it's like Han Solo has no idea of what consent is.
My favorite thing is you saying Han Solo.
Is that not
Han?
They don't teach you that. Okay.
Yeah.
Princess Leia, the yeah. only interesting character.
Queen.
No lines. No role, you know?
Yeah.
Also, only woman. What? What?
Wow, what an ally you are.
Just actually... I will say, the second movie was kind of fun. And the third movie, definitely strong. But A New Hope specifically, you mean to tell me that that movie spawned one of the most successful film franchises of all time? I don't believe it. I can see it, but I do not believe it.
Propaganda, I will not be falling
no,
for.
No, and because yeah. cancel George Lucas is all I have to say. Like, actually, quite phenomenally.
I don't know George Lucas.
He made it.
Oh.
Do you know the... like he's the film diva who did
no.
it. Lucasfilm?
It's not my culture. And I will not wear it as a costume. Yeah.
Which is so funny because if you watch The Phantom Menace, he will wear your culture as a costume.
And then not call it a sari. Yeah. Moving on in culture, Lorde was in a Sydney club.
I did not know this.
Yeah, you that's so wild. It's definitely screenworthy, but we won't be doing that into your beautiful ears. I'm so sorry. On Sunday night, so literally last night when we're recording this, Mary's Underground hosted a Lorde-themed night in celebration of her upcoming album, Virgin. And, you know, very exciting. The Instagram post said, come dance or cry in the club as DJ XE Emma plays all the eras alongside alt pop bangers, drag shows, and themed drinks. Like, this sounds like a really great night, to be honest. And while the house was like, you know, pumping, doing its thing, no one in like the room actually thought that, you know, Lorde would show up in Sydney.
Why would that happen in Sydney?
Yeah, so random. And then I forget that she's actually from New Zealand and it's like,
no, because it's like Beyonce never tours here, you know. No one ever tours here.
Yeah.
And then like Lorde announced tour dates and Australia wasn't there. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I took a second and I was like, oh, she'll just announce them later because obviously she's going to tour Australia. Like if you're touring New Zealand.
Then you're touring Australia.
Yeah.
Lovingly. But maybe that's
blessed be. I mean, is New Zealand worth the investment if you're not also going to Australia? Melbourne has as many people as New Zealand on the whole.
I didn't know that.
New Zealand is tiny.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like 5 million.
More sheep than people. That's actually not true anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we have more camels than people?
No, we just have the most
camels. More camels than Egypt.
We have the most camels in the world.
More, I could say more camels than every single country.
More camels than Japan, for sure.
More camels than England.
More camels than Malaysia. 100. Anyways, Lorde then popped off and just turned up to this, her themed night, which I think is actually incredible.
That's phenomenal.
And this is what, I feel like this is the next iteration of those lookalike contests, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was like I love the lookalike contests and I loved when the celebrities like showed up to them.
It got a little stale. Like it got stale quite quickly.
Totally. And it's like, you know, how many white boys can you be excited for? It was all white boys and Dave Patel. That I would have been at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a Zayn Malik one.
Oh, I didn't know. What's like a celebrity that you'd love to like turn up?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to cut out the silence, but let me tell you, it was such a long silence.
Because I was like, Greta Gerwig? Margot Robbie?
Why did I almost think you were going to say Greta Thunberg?
Oh, Greta Thunberg, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I would go more feral for like a politician. Like if Julia Gillard showed up, I'm shitting bricks, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I saw this thing on... This is a side note. I'm not going to keep it in. Anyways, I think that I would honestly die for Lorde to be at my Lorde-themed night, and then I'd want her to shush me.
I think I'd be so terrified. Like, Lorde judging me? Oh, I couldn't.
I don't think she would, though. Or, like, it just wouldn't be on her face, and I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be on her face.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, she can go on whatever emotional internal journey she wants.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's like, you know how, like, ants have no concept of us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of like, I feel like an ant to Lorde.
Totally. Actually, you know who I'd love to like go partying with is the creators of the Ride podcast and Overcompensating, which is a show, which I'll come back to later in the episode.
Yeah.
But their names are Mary Beth Barone and Benito Skinner. And they're so funny and just so hilarious. And I'd love to like party with them.
Yeah.
I think because I was like thinking like initially it was like Charlie XCX, but I don't think we'd be friends. I think I would annoy her.
I'd say the most like feral thing because you were listening. Like I was trying to think of like who has made art that like broke me. And then I was like thinking of Australian theater makers. And then I was like, actually, I wouldn't shit bricks if I met them. I'd just be like, oh my God, I loved your show. You know?
Yeah.
Like I think shitting bricks, you know, that's reserved for really Julie Gillard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's valid. That's valid, my lads.
Broadly News. I love how we've developed a specific melody for each one without discussion or planning.
Yeah, it just kind of came to us.
Yeah.
That's a little insider scoop for you.
So good to
for
harmonize.
Your broadly relevance. So are you a fan of Op Shopping, Ryan?
No.
Okay.
They have nothing in my size. And I find it so dreadful to just look. I'm like, if I wanted to go on Tinder, I would.
For anyone that doesn't know, Ryan's like dating apps like Fire like on his phone is called clocking into work, which is my favorite thing ever. And I put it into the meme dump like quite a few times, and I'll do it again for this one. Yeah,
I love that.
I've even used it in an article. I think I was like,
you quoted me?
No, I have a photo of you holding it up.
That's feral.
I'll send it to you. Anyways, op shopping pretty big in Melbourne.
I've heard this. Yeah.
But there's The Guardian wrote a really interesting piece called Savers is a Thrift Store and We're in a Cost of Living Crisis. So why is the US chain dividing Australian shoppers? And the reason, let me tell you, if you don't want to read the article, do. It's in the link in bio. But essentially, there's so many like Savers here. There's one on Sydney Road, which is in my neck of the woods. And there's like a bunch in Sydney and like more coming up there. And there are these huge op shops, if you don't know what they are. Like, they look like a department store almost, and it's just like there's so much there. But interestingly, they are a for-profit op shop, which is not usually the case.
It's a little feral.
And it's definitely interesting because like even like in the UK, like op shops are referred to as charity shops, you know, so like the inclination is that it usually goes to like a Salvation Army or a I go to one for epilepsy foundation, the Epilepsy Foundation. There's like a Cancer Council one. Like, you know, like there's lots.
Yeah.
Charity. Important.
Charity is the most important way to lower your tax burden.
No, totally. So the Savers model relies on donations of clothes and like household items, whatever they sell, to its charitable partners. This includes Red Nose, Wounds Australia, Diabetes Victoria, which are either collected by the nonprofits or through donation centers attached to the store. So basically it goes to the nonprofits first and then it will go to Savers after. And Savers will then pay these charities for those goods, which I find interesting because like you're paying for it, like the money is going to the charity, right? But it's still sort of like dividing the nation, I would say.
Well, it just kind of separates the expense of operating those stores from the charities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is like so bad.
No.
But it's still like a for-profit business at the end of the day.
Is for-profit bad?
Wow. Okay, my slave to capitalism.
No, okay, because here's the thing. Everyone's like, not-for-profit. Not-for-profit doesn't mean the money is necessarily going into doing the work.
Mm.
It just means that there's no shareholders taking money, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there could be a highly inflated amount of middle managers taking all the money, you know, like that structure doesn't necessarily encourage implicitly it to be more active in serving good.
Yeah. Interesting. Also, in this specific instance, like, you know, a lot of op shops have to like give away their goods to like landfill, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, although it's for profit, like, isn't that better than it landing in landfill?
Well, and the other thing with not-for-profits is that at some point they become so big that it's like, institutionally, do we actually want to resolve the issue?
Mm-hmm.
Because then we all lose our jobs.
Yeah. And then it's like you have to like dig in further, you know, about like we live in a capitalistic society.
Exactly.
And like how it's do like, you unravel that? Yeah.
Is World Vision materially doing good in the world? Absolutely not. And I will personally go on a rant about World Vision if anyone asks me. Fuck World Vision. No. And I will quickly say, no, I won't.
No.
But fuck not-for-profits.
Not all not-for-profits.
Not necessarily. Okay. But I don't think the model is explicitly what makes it good.
No, because our private school that we went to was technically a not-for-profit organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just came out as a private school kid.
No, but the thing is, it's like, just because you don't have shareholders, that doesn't incentivize you to do good. Anywho, mutual aid, guys. Heard of it?
Yeah, period.
Mutual
aid. Period. Anyways, let's move on from news.
Victoria is banning machetes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically in Melbourne, there was a clash on the weekend. Clash is a weird euphemism, but it's what The Guardian used to describe it. Where essentially there was a couple of people taken to hospital with serious conditions from a machete attack, where apparently there were two rival groups fighting each other with the knives in Northland Shopping Centre, which is not slay. And then the day later, Jacinta Allen is banning machetes in the state, which I'd say is pretty on top of it, pretty action-based,
mm-hmm.
Notably reminiscent of what happened after the Port Arthur shooting in Tasmania, mm-hmm. and in, like, weeks after John Howard bans the sale of firearms in Australia, or severely restricts them. It's interesting the way that they're implementing it. So they're doing, they're using powers that they've never used before to essentially ban the knives from sale until September. And then after September, they'll be illegal to own. And they'll be running an amnesty program for the first, for the next 2 months. And an amnesty program. Do you know what an amnesty program is?
No, tell me.
Oh my God, that's so fun. Basically, you can just go in and just give them to the police.
Yeah.
And they will not ask you why you have a machete. No questions asked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty slay. There was also another machete attack also, I think, on Friday in Melbourne. So, weirdly, two machete attacks over the weekend, and now machetes are banned.
Yeah.
Which is so quick. Like, I was not thinking about machetes a week ago. You know what I'm saying?
No, not at all.
Yeah, and now they're banned.
Yeah.
Which, good.
Good.
And then the final bit of news that has absolutely gagged me. Kamala Harris is on the Gold Coast right now, right? And, you know, you're asking, like, who would you shit bricks if they rocked up to the party? Kamala Harris as well. I'm shitting bricks if Kamala was there. But she was presenting at a Gold Coast real estate conference at the Gold Coast Exhibition Center.
Yeah.
I've been there.
I've been there too.
You know.
I graduated there from uni.
I was like, we graduated together.
I did a separate thing.
Oh, you did additional study.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she made a couple remarks at the conference, which, first of all, I think that's wild. I'm like, what is she doing at a real estate conference?
Mm.
My headcanon is that she wanted a holiday.
And I agree.
You know, she wanted a funded holiday. And I'm like, yeah, I hope she's enjoying Corumban Wildlife Sanctuary.
Get those waffle fries, girl.
That's an allegation. I'm not hearing that she actually went to Corumban, but
she should.
In my headcanon, she's holding a koala.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and as two Gold Coast locals.
Yeah. What else are you doing?
What else are you doing? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
She's probably surfing. Paddleboarding.
I see that for her. Oh my God. Wow. Maybe she paddleboarded where we used to paddleboard. Wow.
I see that.
Wow.
But we're just like Kamala.
Well, I am half Indian, so.
You are.
The other half is also Indian. Am I wrong? We have more camels than in Ireland, okay?
No, totally. But Kamala made a couple interesting points at the
real estate conference.
At the real estate conference, where she said, without naming Musk, she talked about the way that he is an example of an advisor, of a person holding this misplaced idea that the sign of the strength of a leader is who you beat down.
Mm.
And I'm like, wish she was president, you know? In my headcanon, she's president.
Yeah.
There's
a lot going on in your headcanon. I've never heard that term.
Headcanon?
I've definitely heard, like, this is a canon.
You know what?
Canonically.
You know what headcanon means, though, right?
Like, in your head, this is a canon event?
Yeah. So, like, if, for example, like, a TV show put out two things that, like, don't make sense together, you as, like, an audience member might just come up with your own canon for how it makes sense,
and that's your
headcanon.
You know what's so funny?
The TV show.
Every time that you, like, I learned the word canonically from you, and now I'm learning new
headcanon
iterations of that.
Yeah,
yeah. And I think that's kind of, like, beautiful.
Did you not read fan fiction growing up?
I did. I was Wattpad girly.
Oh, okay. I was like Tumblr and Archive of Her Own.
I never had Tumblr. That's like my, I'm like.
What?
Yeah, I'm like coming out that I didn't have Tumblr.
I literally made a new Tumblr account 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, really? In your nostalgia era, Minecraft, Tumblr, what's next? Kick? Ask.fm?
Ask.fm.
Yeah.
I always have time for that. She also loosely criticized Musk for some comments he made around empathy being weak. And she said that there's something that is very popular these days, at least in the press, who suggested that it is a sign of weakness of Western civilizations to have empathy. Imagine, no, it's a sign of strength to have some level of curiosity and concern and care about the well-being of others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I know she was a liberal Democrat who refused to speak out on genocide, but oh, that's a great quote.
Period, Kamala.
You know?
Kamala, you confuse me sometimes.
Oh, she also said, I'm unemployed right now. And in many ways, I'm just like her.
Maybe you should hang out as if we're not at the Gold Coast right now.
Oh, no, because I saw that news and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I would attend a real estate conference for Carmelo.
My mom got so excited when she heard.
Did your mom see her?
No, but she's like out and about trying to look for her.
Stalking
in a non-creepy way.
Well,
because she's also half Indian and the other half is also Indian. So it's like, you know.
Your mom,
like,
not Carmelo.
Yeah.
What would you do if you like saw Carmelo at like pack fair?
Say namaste. My sister. No, she's literally from South India. So that like wouldn't even make any sense. Sorry.
Broadly deep.
That's my favorite one to do.
Because it's the baritone of it all.
Yeah. And for those of you at home that think that we have one recording of this and put it in, no, we do it every single time. Technology, am I right? It's melting our brains.
So I read this Guardian piece, which was pretty interesting. Which was talking about, it interviewed a couple of young people. Dare I say Gen Alpha?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're just younger than us, but still Gen Z. Because we're Gen Z and we need to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to them about how they feel about like being raised on technology and being raised with like phones in their pockets, and would they, you know, pass on that legacy. And it was really interesting because a bunch of the, I'm going to say kids, but they're people like 2 years younger than us.
We're the kiddos.
Essentially saying that, you know, like, no, I'm not giving unrestricted phone usage to people younger than me. And calling out, like, because their parents didn't understand technology as well as the digital natives do, they, you know, were in incredibly unsafe positions at times because of unfettered access to technology. And because of that, they don't want to pass on that legacy, which I think is really interesting that, like, the first generation to really, you know, because we talk about, like, yes, technically millennials like absolutely grew up with technology and I'm honoring their truth, you know, but they grew up with a technology that was changing. You know, it's like I'd say our generation is grown up post technology. Crazy statement that I, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the iPhone came out in 2007 and that was year three.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always like I probably only became conscious in like 2010, you know, and so like that's all post iPhone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But anywho. I still remember a time. You don't remember a time when there was like none of that?
Pre-iPhone.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but I can't remember there not being an iPhone. Do you know what I mean? Like when I think back to like grade one, I don't remember thinking there's no iPhone.
I think when I look back at grade one though, I do like see like the context of like everyone just had like Nokia phones and Motorola's.
You had phones in grade one?
No, but like those are the phones around me.
Oh yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Like I remember wanting my sister's like flip phone pink Motorola so desperately and she wouldn't give it to me. And we had this like big like family hoopla thing happen. And I was like, okay, so do I get her phone now? <'Cause>
So fair.
Yes, was no, but.
Well, my thing, I was always very uninterested in phones because I was like, who the fuck am I calling?
Yeah. Why weren't you calling me?
I met you after I had an iPod Touch.
So you hate me.
I met you after Snapchat existed.
You hate Brableman.
I was Snapchatting you, Simran.
We were Skyping, actually, a lot.
Oh, we Skyped all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Skype finally shut down.
Yeah.
I kind of feel sad because I'm like, all those chats just...
I used to still use Skype with my friend Melissa. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, moving back to...
back to the point at hand.
Yeah, it's very interesting, this sort of move towards, I guess, less technology in our life when you know, I feel like everything was definitely like, oh, we're like really like amping it up and like technology was like definitely like making like the world like a better place. And now we're kind of like, okay, like we're seeing the bad effects of it all. Like the time has come and we're like, let's not do this anymore.
Well, there was like a hot minute of like everyone was like, oh my God, we'll try and digitize that, get it digital, which has had some benefits. Like I have not lost a piece of paper in years, you know, but also now it's like everyone's like got like trying to like also escape from that and like trying out their little 2005 cameras and
Polaroids, and everyone loves a digital. Yeah, everyone loves a film photograph. There are even apps now that will like you can take photos, but you can only view them the next day.
Well, even the way that like it was trendy for a moment there to have wired headphones, rather than AirPods.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's interesting how like almost like that. A has become an aesthetic. B, does that aesthetic represent more of like a rejection of the way that technology dominates everything? Because everything does kind of feel the same, you know? It's like when you receive another Facebook event invite, which Lord knows I hate a Facebook event invite. It's like they look the same as every other invite, you know?
Yeah,
and it's like impersonal and sterile.
I found interesting on TikTok this week, I saw this video about a transparent phone, and it started in May with a TikTok of a woman holding what appears to be a transparent phone, and she's like, in in the line in a San Francisco boba shop because, of course, it is in San Francisco.
The perfect setting for this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll put the TikTok down below, but it was from a tech content creator called Catherine
Goetze,
aka ChatGPT on TikTok. And she appears on the, it's like basically like an acrylic, like plastic kind of block that looks like a phone, but there's nothing on it. And so she said that my friend is actually the inventor and creator of these. And he told me that he wanted to test was if we're all so addicted to our phones, then could you potentially curb somebody's addiction by replacing the feeling of having a phone in your pocket with something that feels exactly the same? So this is literally like, it's not, like there's nothing on it. It's just like a, it's like an acrylic piece of, it's just glass or acrylic. And she, it's by the toy maker Eric Antonow. And yeah, she, Antonow explained that the toy's name is called the Metaphone, which I think is funny.
Metaphone. It's
right.
A pun.
Yeah. And it's a nod to a methadone, a substance used as a harm reduction tool in the treatment of morphine and heroin addiction. So, yeah, I thought that was like really interesting. I'm not sure how realistic that is.
I think it would do away with like the anxiety of being without your phone because I feel like I've trained myself to always like check my pocket.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And having that there would soothe that anxiety, but I still wouldn't be getting notifications. I feel like that's the thing that we're actually addicted to, not the physical device.
Go on. Safety-wise, that's kind of why I want my phone.
Yeah.
And that's like my issue.
Well, I saw, okay, so it's this really cute product which I saw has just been released, but it's like a case for an Apple Watch. And so you put the Apple Watch in the top and then on the bottom, it's like a click wheel, like an old iPod click wheel, which like hooks up to the Apple Watch. So it's like an iPod, but with an Apple Watch in it. And because Apple Watches can do phone calls and stuff, it's like a little iPod phone thing. It's so cute, and I kind of enjoy, because I enjoy that I wear an Apple Watch most days. I like that it's annoying to do things on it, but I also know that I can walk out of my house without my phone and survive.
My qualm with that though is that I think this move away from technology, at least like personally in some conversations that I've had with people, is also like the overconsumption of technology and how you need like every little thing. And so now I feel like it's interesting that we need these things, like more things
to escape the things.
And that kind of makes me jittery.
Well, and that's kind of was the promise of like a smartphone in the first place, is that it combined all these things into one. You know, and it's like now you don't need things, but now it's like, well, you need your Switch and you need your Bluetooth headphones. And you need your, what I see recently, I saw something which was like a case for an iPhone to make it more comfortable to hold while reading. Which all it was, it just like made it wider so that like there were things to hold on either side. And I was like, totally. That's so important.
There's another thing that you brought up.
Which is it's called the Light Phone. They've just released like the third generation of the Light Phone. But it's essentially this like phone which the only apps it has are phone, camera, podcasts, directions, notes, alarm, and I think messages and a couple other things that like are only supported by the developer. But it's not like Android, it's not iPhone, it's like its own thing. You can't install other apps, and it's like meant to like, you buy it just to help you disconnect and like moderate the way you use technology. Because like technology, you know, like being able to use directions on your phone, so useful, you know, like how else are you meant to use a tram? But at the same time, because you're there and it's like TikTok is a swipe over, it's like, that's bad. But then I'm also like, I don't know, do I need to spend $900 for a phone that can't even reply to Instagram messages, you know? Like that, I think feels, that steps into like this overconsumption sort of world.
I met this lady the other day and she was like, I've gone 2 years without a smartphone, and she has like a little, you know, like a Nokia brick, and I played Snake on it and it was great. But she said, but I haven't given up apps. And I was like, that's interesting. What do you mean by that? And what she meant by that is that she has like a tablet that she got from like Kogan or something like that with the rest of her apps on it. And I was like, I don't know how different that is.
I think there's something about that because it, you have to be more intentional about the way you use it then. You know, you can't just like wild to pull out an iPad on a train, you know, or like on a tram. And you, I feel like you it forces you to engage.
Yeah, that's fair. And she doesn't always bring out the tablet with her. So it's like kind of like she gets to decide when she wants to. But I also, whenever we like talk about this, like I have a lot of conversations being like, yeah, I just like want to limit like my screen time. And like, I just like, you know, like I keep like scrolling on TikTok for hours. I never feel bad after a scroll on TikTok. Never.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause in that Guardian article, it was talking all about like how like, oh, the kids, you know, social media is really good at giving children, eating disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know? But I feel like now, because I'm like at an age where I can very consciously engage with those platforms, I'm able to see like, oh, that's got like some pro ED, you know, hold down. I don't want to see more like this. Mm-hmm. And like training the algorithm to do not fuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it like brings, that's like actually very true. I think I just like know how to also just like regulate.
Yeah,
my emotions.
It's that same thing of like, you remember how we used to do alcohol in 2016 and like how we drink now.
You know?
It's like that thing of like, here is a substance which is dangerous in certain ways you use it, but like you can just learn how to, you know, do it in regulation. And some people don't, and that sucks, and we should help them out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And like do what you need to do to like, to live your best life. Yeah.
I've read a lot of things that are like the bad thing about like, just scrolling on TikTok, even though like it's definitely enjoyable and can be fun. And like, you learn a lot about the world and like the way that TikTok has played a role in communicating about Gaza is incredibly important, you know? At the same time, I think there's something to be said for like the way that we're not bored anymore, because I think boredom is really good for like creativity and like thinking about the world and reflecting on yourself. And like when you're constantly feeding yourself things, it's like, when are you digesting?
Yeah. Okay. You didn't come up with that.
No. Well, I came up with the words just then.
Okay, totally.
I mean, I might have subconsciously stolen it.
Yeah.
I need, let me get bored so I can realize.
No, absolutely. But yeah, that kind of moves to my next point, which I'd like us to like do a deep dive on one day about like, can anything be original? Because I do enjoy the fact that TikTok like inspires a lot of different things, but like the same kind of vein, like if I'm not like just with my own thoughts and bored, can I come up with something on my own?
I don't think anything can be original.
No, neither do I. That's a separate conversation, babe. Like, yeah.
I think the thing that frustrates me about sort of TikTok and the way that like creativity has melded with technology is that, and business, is that there's this expectation of creativity and originality, and everyone's like, do your own thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but we exist in a context, you know?
Literally.
Famously, Kamala said that.
Wow, bring it back. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, to deny that, I think, is unhinged, but that's what, you know.
Well, I think it's like very like ego-driven.
Yeah. Just looking to be unique for unique sake. And I'm like, yeah, but as unique as you are, you're also a product of your context, you know?
And also like, it's very like individualist society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, literally. Like, hey, there's no shame in referencing things and riffing and extending.
But then it's like, is everything is a reference, nothing is a rich, you know what I mean? Like,
but that's everything, you know? Everything is just an extension of the thing before it, you know?
Wow, that's beautiful.
Like, we...
Hey,
we've been saying it. We exist in the context.
Hey, and like, I meant for this to be a separate deep dive, and now it's like we're doing
no, but and you get it.
Because everything is connected and we exist in the context.
Anywho, so like, the social media ban, do we think it's a good thing?
I think we have differing opinions on this, because I think, it is a good thing.
I've seen more I think broadly it's a good thing for children.
Yeah.
Am I confident that it will be used or implemented in an effective way that will protect our civil liberties?
Mm-hmm.
No, not confident about that.
Yeah. I also like, will be interested, like, as you said, like we kind of learned about these things and like at an early age. And so now we know how to like regulate and like critically absorb social media and like interact with it. And so I wonder like what that rate will look like now that it's like being taken away at that age.
Yeah.
Like, will that be like a good thing or will it like be like a bad thing? And like, how do you kind of supplement that like early learning time? Like, will there be like social media literacy that is like taught in schools to help that situation?
I think if you had asked me when we talked about this last, I would have said that's ridiculous. But actually sitting with it now, I'm like, well, we teach people how to read. Like when I was a kid, I had to learn how to type, you know? And I'm like, actually, I could totally imagine, you know, in 20 years, kids getting taught how to post on Instagram story.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the original like critical thinking class in school is English, right? Like you're like analyzing like these texts and, you know,
English teachers unite.
And but I think it just like needs to be taken like a step further, because clearly I don't know how clear it is that that's what it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a shit name. It's like, why call it English, guys? Call it language.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Literacy.
Langlet. as we said, in IB.
Did we?
No, well, we didn't do Langlet.
Okay.
We did literature, right?
Yeah, because we had to do all the commentaries and the analyses.
Yeah, we get to read so many books, y'all.
I didn't read all of them.
I didn't read all of them.
No, I chose my favorite, read it, and then just kept
I had to read
that
so
one.
Many Spark Notes.
Ugh, but you know what? You're a literate queen.
Period. And now it takes me 500 years to read a book.
I think that's all I have to say.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Should we check out?
Let's. What's a piece of media that you would recommend?
I would recommend Andor, which I love very much, a beautiful TV show. But also maybe I would recommend Lamestream, which is a new podcast and newsletter from Osman Faruqi and another journalist who I follow on Blue Sky. And they're doing really great analysis of Australian politics and stuff.
Love that. Yeah, we'll definitely link them down below. And the thing that I would recommend is Overcompensating, the TV show. It's so good. I love it so much. It's by, again, the creators of Ride, my favorite podcast, and their names are Benito Skinner and Mary Beth Barone. And I would say it's a mashup of Glee, Heartbreak High, and like a little, like a younger version of Sex and the City. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you really enjoyed this and you want to help us make our own TV show, you can contact us at hey@worldlyrelevant.com. Otherwise, tell your friends and leave a review. We'll see you next week.
Bye.